Amen. There by faith I receive my sight, and I'm happy all the day. Amen. I'm glad that every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, again, much of what we say this morning, tonight, and next week should be review for most of us. We've been here for some time. I'm of the persuasion, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Amen. And we've proven the Matthew 28 to be successful in dealing with the local church and its involvement in missions. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. Verse 16 is where we're going to start reading. Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse number 16, and we'll continue down to verse number 20. And by the way, we have a missions program, and we need a missions program, but this morning we're going to talk about that very principle, why we have and why we need a missions program. Just by show of hands, how many are familiar with missions? You're familiar with missions, amen? How many has participated in giving to missions? Raise your hand. Amen. All right. Good, good, good. How many understand the biblical context in which it sits and you could explain it to someone else? Raise your hand. Amen. Good, good. So today we should all get an A on the test then. Amen. So when somebody asks you and says, hey, what about that missions conference? You can say, amen, it's this, 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 and this. You ought to come, be a part of that. Amen. And that'll be a blessing. And make sure you get your directory out. For the next several weeks, call someone that you see that's not here. Give them a call. Say, missions conference is coming up. It's one of the most important meetings we have all year. That's when we decide what we're going to do for others around the world in regards to getting the gospel to them. And that's when we're going to determine what our involvement is with that. So make sure you call somebody over the next several weeks and get them out here. Amen. Matthew 20, verse 16. We're going to read those verses together. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, let's start reading in verse number 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Well, by God's grace today, we're going to be talking about why we have and need a missions program out of this particular passage tonight. We'll look at why we finance a missions program out of Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Then next week, we'll talk about how we finance that and use the principle out of 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. That way, when the missions comes up, you don't have to pray about, is it scriptural? Is it right? You know it is. You just have to pray about, God, how much do you want me to give? Amen. And that should really be the only thing left. How much should I give? And by the way, everybody can give something. Can I get amen? Everybody can give something. You don't have to empty out the bank and give everything you got, but everybody can give something, even children. Amen. Father, bless now the next several moments as we prepare for our missions conference coming up here. Lord, I pray that nothing would hinder our listening abilities this morning, and that, Lord, our ears would hear, our minds would comprehend and understand, our heart would be touched. Lord, I will might obey today, knowing it is the great command that you've left in Scripture. Your last command should be our first concern. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being in a church that is a local church that supports missions. Lord, we've done so from the beginning of our church. And Lord, it's our 14th year. Going into our 15th year, we want to continue supporting missionaries around the world. Lord, so many need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So many are not as fortunate as we are to live in a free country where the gospel is readily available almost on every shelf. My Lord, we need to get men, women, boys, and girls in places where that gospel is hid to others. Lord, if it's hid to them that are lost, then Lord, they are without. And Lord, we want to go in and get the gospel within their hearts that they can be saved. Thank you for what we've done thus far in missions. Thank you that this church has not just been missions-minded, but missions-hearted. And we have given from day one. Lord, many have sacrificed. Many have gone without so that they can give. Lord, this year, I suspect it would be no different. Lord, some will have to go without, some will sacrifice in order to give that others can have the gospel given to them. And only in glory will we see the rewards and the riches there. Help us to prioritize how important this is to you and make your heartbeat our heartbeat. And Lord, that we might see great things happen. Lord, this is all about people getting saved and getting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, if there's one today that has never experienced and received the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for the payment of their sin, and they've never made a conscious choice to choose Jesus over everything else, not in emotion, not in anything else other than a decision that Jesus Christ died for my sins and I should have paid my own penalty. Lord, help that person to make a decision today to trust Christ and commit to him that they might be saved. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Now bless the song that we sang here in the next few moments and then the message that will come afterwards. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. And you may be seated as Brother Wilbur comes to sing.
Our punishment
Amen. Much, much truth to that. Amen. He was bruised for our iniquities. Amen. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Amen. That's Isaiah. Good song there, Brother Wilbur. I appreciate that. I keep wanting to call you Brother Gilbert. Amen. One of my deacons back over in Belgium. Amen. And he was a great man. Amen. And a great servant. And they're so similar. But just great to be here. Great to have our missions conference approaching. And excited that you're here. I do pray that you not only have been involved in missions previously, but that you'll get involved in missions again all over and do a little bit more than what God had you do last year. And if you got a raise from your job, if you got a promotion or any of those things, then honor God by increasing in what you give. Amen. Let me give this out. I'll be giving this out several times over the course of the next several weeks. Missions giving is going to be a spiritual commitment from you. It's not going to be a fleshly thing. It's going to be a spiritual desire that God puts within your heart. We're going to talk more about that. Now, number two, missions giving will be a physical commitment as well. There will be some things that you may have to do without, or some things you may have to cut back. If God lays a certain figure on your heart, in order for you to give that amount, you may have to do without some things. So it'll be a spiritual commitment, a physical commitment, and then thirdly, it'll be a financial commitment as well. Funds will be obligated and put aside as God gives it to you. Notice this, above your tithes and offering. Above your tithes and offering. Tithes, that's the Lord's. That's just being equal with God. He said, you have robbed me in tithes and offerings. An offering is whatever you give above your tithe. And then missions giving is going to be above that. And so my tithe comes first, and then I give an offering, and then I'm going to give to missions. And so it will be a financial commitment of some sort, be it $2, be it $10, whatever. It'll be a financial commitment. Then number four, missions giving will be an annual commitment. No matter where we go, we're committing to give through this local church for an entire 1 year period, starting December 1st until November 30th of 2016. Amen. So even if you change churches, or if you go over here, if you go over here, you have already obligated to give that to God to meet the missions. And so I know a lot of folks say, well, I'm leaving the church and I'm not going to give. Well, you lied unto God then. Amen. You didn't lie unto me. And so keep that in mind. It is a spiritual commitment, a physical commitment, a financial commitment, and an annual commitment. You say, I'm scared to give. Now, don't be. Don't be. Amen. Because I'm going to give you everything that you need to go along with that. Amen. So giving to you won't be a problem at all. And so it never fails, Brother Serge. Every time we talk about missions or giving, we get all sorts of guests and visitors that show up, and they think that all I preach about all year is money. Amen. And I very rarely preach on money, Brother Scott. Amen. But when I do, it seems like we get a whole bunch of visitors that automatically just show up. They hear me talking about money. They say, "See, that's what I told you. See, they just want your money. That's what I told you. All they want is your money." Amen. I say, well, you know, there's 365 days. We'll come back another one of those days, amen. You might not hear money, but on missions conference, you're going to hear money, amen. But you'll hear more about your heart than about the money, because if God's got your heart, he'll have your money, amen. Well, we find ourselves here in Matthew chapter 28 talking about why we have a need a missions program. And you find the death has already occurred, the burial has already occurred, and in chapter 28, the resurrection now is being detailed how this all happened, and we're going to talk just briefly about that before we get into the outline. Notice what it says in verse 1, "At the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here." Hallelujah, he's not here, amen. Aren't you glad that we serve a risen Savior? Amen. He is not here, for he is risen. Amen. Hey, Buddha is dead. Muhammad is dead. Joseph Smith is dead. Amen. The prior popes are dead. Amen. Anybody you can think of is dead. John the Baptist is dead. Amen. So I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about any of those other. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ. He is risen, my friend. Amen. And we serve a risen Savior. Okay, how you slice it, amen. All the rest of the men before are dead and gone, amen. All the men after are dead and gone. They might have been good men. They may have been great men, amen. I don't care if they did anything for our freedom. That doesn't mean they didn't die, amen. They still died, amen. And some great men down through the ages of this nation have done some great things for our freedoms, both our freedoms of speech and our civil rights and things of that nature. But they are not Jesus, amen. They're still dead. That's what separates us from everybody else. Amen. We serve a risen Savior. He is not here. He is risen, as he said. Praise God. I'm glad he's a man of his word. Come see the place where they laid him, or where the Lord lay. Amen. They said, come check it out. He says, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, hail, all hail. And that they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee. There shall they see me. So you find there in verse number 10, he says, go into Galilee. You find in verse number 7, the angel said, go before him into Galilee. Verse 11, now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. When they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. Now think about that. I don't know about you, but when I'm asleep, I don't have a clue what's going on around me. I mean, my wife can get up three times to go to the bathroom. The kids could come in my room and knock on the door, and lightning could be on the outside. And guess what? I slept through that. I didn't see a thing. How many of y'all heard the lightning last night? I mean, the thunder, I'm sorry. How many of y'all saw the lightning? How many of y'all slept right through it? See? So you have to believe what we tell you, that it was thunder and lightning. You got to believe that, amen, because you didn't see it. You slept through it, amen. They're here saying somebody stole them whilst we slept. Boy, you'd have to be a doofus to believe that. Because whilst you sleep, you don't have a clue what's going on. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money, so would I, and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. Now, we don't have record of somebody asked them about that, but we know one thing. They got rich because of it. Amen. And then notice verse number 16. This is where we're going to have to pick up at. Notice their place. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. I'm glad that the disciples, they might not have been the smartest. They might not have been the brightest. They might not have had a lot of things going on. But they were obedient. They went to the place that they were told to go to. Amen. The angel told them, hey, go to that place, Galilee. Then Jesus said, tell them guys to go to that place, Galilee. And guess where we find them? In that place, Galilee. Amen. The 11 disciples went away into Galilee in a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Now, it'd be kind of bad if Jesus showed up and they weren't there.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
What if they were like the woman at Samaria? Well, you stay over this mountain we're supposed to worship, so we went over there. They went exactly where he's supposed to be. What does that show me? That you and I, as believers of the Word of God, ought to obey the Word of God. Right, amen. Amen. Hey, if they can obey Jesus' words, why can't we? Amen. Good, isn't it? Amen. By the way, applied Bible is the best Bible. Amen. What do I mean by applied? You read it and you do it. It does me no good to read the fire escape directions if I don't use a fire escape to stay in the building and get burned up.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
Come on now.
Amen. Amen, Pastor. Amen.
Does them no good to hear about going to Galilee from an angel and hear about it from Jesus and not to go? What am I saying? You and I need to obey the Word of God too. So we see their place. They went where they were appointed. Then notice verse number 17. Notice their position. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Their position. They were worshiping him, but some had some doubts in their mind. Is this really him? Can this really be? Is this really going on? Is this reality? Somewhere, by the way, you can worship and still have doubts in your heart. Amen. What am I saying? Hey, they were worshiping, saying, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, but do we have 3.5 more years with him? They were doubting. Is he going away? They were doubting. Is he here to stay? They were doubting. Well, what does this mean? We're going to worship you, but what does this meeting mean? Now, you told us to come here to Galilee, Lord, but what does this mean? Hey, sometimes God's going to lay something on your heart for this coming mission. So you're going to say, well, I want to worship you by doing this, God, but I don't know what's going to happen next year. He does. So you can worship and still have some doubts in your heart. Amen. They did. They were with him for 3.5 years. You and I haven't seen him face to face like they did. So what do you think we're going to do? Amen. God may lay something on your heart and say, I want you to give this mind. You say, Lord, you got to be kidding me. I couldn't give that. Are you crazy? I wanted to go and buy this or that or the other. I, you know, maybe need a new pair of shoes. Come on, now work with me, Lord. I know you don't want me to give that. And guess what? He keeps putting it on your heart. And he keeps putting it on your heart. And he keeps putting it on your heart. And you can't shake it. You can't break it. And guess what? Don't doubt it. Just do it. Amen. Amen. What am I saying? Some worshiped, and at the same time they're worshiping, they've got these doubts. What does this mean? What's going on here? Well, I'm glad Jesus is not going to leave them with all these doubts. He's going to tell them exactly what it means. So we see their place, their position, they worship, but some were doubting. Then notice their power is going to come from Jesus. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Their power is going to be coming from his power. He said, I've got all power. I've got this authority. I've got it. And because I've got all this power, it's going to be your power. He said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Then he gave them their program. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. He said, because I've got the power, you're going to go in my power. And this is going to be your program. Go ye therefore. He said, I want you to mobilize yourselves. Then he says, teach all nations. He said, I want you to evangelize them and then baptizing them. So he says, I want you to, your program is to mobilize, evangelize, and baptize. Then you're going to proselytize, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you all, even unto the end of the world. And so in a nutshell, that's what we're talking about this morning. Why we have and need a missions program. It's very simple. It really is. Jesus told them to go to all nations. Now, how in the world can you go to all nations? You can't. But guess what? Through missions, you can. Give you a couple quick facts about missions. The word missions is not listed in the Bible. Just like Trinity is not in your Bible. Just like rapture is not in your Bible. You go to a concordance, you look up Trinity, you won't find it. But guess what? You'll see the principle and the concept of it. 3 in 1. Guess what? The word rapture is not in the Bible, but you see the principle of it. Being snatched away or caught away. We're going to be caught up together. That's snatching away. So although the word is not there, the principle is there. Although the word Trinity is not there, the principle and the concept is there. And although missions is not there, the principle and the concept of it is. And so missions then is the act or instance of sending someone for a purpose. How many of y'all sent your children on a mission this week? Go get the remote controls. Go wash the dishes. Go take out the trash. You know what you did? You sent them on a mission. You said, make up your bed. That's your mission. Fold your clothes. That's the mission. Brush your teeth. That's the mission. You've sent them to do something. So the missions just means the act or instance of sending someone for a purpose. Biblically speaking, it's a ministry commissioned by a religious organization to propagate or spread or reproduce its faith or carry on humanitarian work. And so that's why you see a lot of missions agencies out there. Some do humanitarian work. Some give out the gospel. Our job is to give out the gospel. And in giving out the gospel, humanitarian work can be done. A missionary then is a person undertaking a mission sent for a purpose. and especially a religious mission of taking the gospel to others by spreading and reproducing themselves. So although missions is not in the Bible and missionary is not in the Bible, the concept and the principle of it is. So as we approach this year's missions conference, I want us to know why we have and why we need a missions program today. And then tonight, why we finance that program. Amen. And I think it'll be easy as one, two, three. Unos, dos, tres.
That's good. Amen.
Don't ask me to do it in any other language because I'll mess it up. Amen.
Amen.
I can tell when you do it in another language because I was in Europe for a while. Amen. But if I try it, I'll butcher it up bad. Amen. Yeah, German, Dutch, I know how it sounds, amen, but to do it, it is difficult at best, amen. And so I know we all want to get involved in missions, and we see they went to their place, we see they went to how their position was, some worshiped and some doubted. We're going to have those same fears. We see their power derives from the Lord, and he said, your program is to go, and when you go, you're going in my power, you're baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You're going to teach them to observe all things. So why we have and need a missions program, we're talk about that very briefly here. Number one, we have a missions program to obey Jesus in being sent. What did Jesus say in verse 19? What's that first word? Say it with me. Go.
Go.
Now, when the light turns green, how many of y'all stay put? Those that are texting, stay put. Because you're not looking at the green light. You're looking down there at your little pad. You're doing all that. You hear the honk, 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 come on. And then folks give you all sorts of rude gestures in your rearview mirror when you look up. Amen. Why? Because the light said go and you did not go. Amen. How many of y'all have run the stoplight? Don't incriminate yourselves. Amen. Stoplight means stop. You see red, you're supposed to stop. If you go, guess what? You can expect to see some red and white lights going woo. So the word go then has a meaning. The word go means to go forward or to advance. And so Jesus says, you know what? You need a missions program to obey me in being sent. I said go. Amen. We as a church, as individuals, should desire to obey Christ's last command to go, just like they obeyed his command to go over in Galilee and wait. You and I should obey the same thing. Go. So we have a missions program to obey Jesus in being sent. We may not always have opportunity to go, but when we do have an opportunity, we should go because we are sent. And this is how you and I are going to reach our Jerusalem. We start here as a church and we work our way out. And you'll find that the Jews started the same way. They started there in Jerusalem and they began to work their way out. You should start here at this local church and work your way out. At your job, you start at your job and you work your way out. In your community, you work here from here and you go out. When you go to the grocery store, you start here and you work your way out. Wherever you go, you start there and you work your way out. That's how you go. We're sent individually day by day and corporately as a church weekly through visitation and door knocking. By the way, all of us have daily activities that involve people. And as you see people, guess what you should be able to do? You should be able to witness to them. Even if it's as simple as pulling out a gospel tract and say, you know what, sir, ma'am, I would love to have you come out and pay me a visit at my church. You've never been so loved. And you'll never feel so much love at my church. And you put this in their hand. And you can tell them, at the same time, there's a great message on the back to tell you how you can be sure you're going to heaven. If you get a chance, you might get a chance to take a little further. They may say, well, how can I be sure? And you say, well, here you go, right here. First, realize God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And second, realize everyone is a sinner. I'm a sinner, you're a sinner. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. Third, realize that sin has a price that must be paid. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then fourth, realize Jesus Christ died to pay your price. Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us, and while we yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then lastly, you need to ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior and claim his promise. Because he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's all right back there on the back of that track. You're just giving somebody the gospel in less than a minute. In less than a minute, they can know whether they've received Christ or not. They can know whether they've made a decision to trust Christ. Say, well, I've been saved since I was a kid. No, you haven't. Well, I've been a Christian since I was born. No, you haven't. Well, I was baptized and I got saved. No, you didn't. Well, I kept the Ten Commandments. No, you definitely didn't. Amen.
And say, well, I spoke in tongues, and so I know I'm saved. No, you're not. Tongues is not a sign to authenticate your salvation. Well, somebody anointed me with oil, so I know I'm saved. Where did you find that at in the Bible? So none of those things matter. What matters is, have I called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he what? Saved us. For by grace are you what? Saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Those are all scriptural verses. For God so loved the world that he gave. Why? That whosoever believes in him should not what? Perish. But what? Have everlasting life. Hey, there had to be come up a point in my life when I believed the gospel. The Bible says, believe the gospel. Except ye be born again, ye cannot see the kingdom of God. If there was a time that you were born physically, there had to be a time that you were born spiritually. Your children all have birth dates. You have an anniversary date. You have a date when you started working. And you also should have a date that you got saved. Can I get amen? Well, it's elusive. I did it so many times. When was the time that it mattered? Hey, there was a time that it had to matter. After I got saved, I prayed a whole bunch of times after that. Oh, Lord, please save me. I don't think I'm saved. Amen. I prayed a whole lot of times before that. Now I lay me down and sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Which one of those times actually did I mean business with God? You got to have a time. Hey, February 3rd, 1991. I know where I was at. I know what I was wanting. I know what I did. I know what I said. I know who I asked for. I know I repented of my sins. I know I turned my back on sin. I know I turned to Jesus Christ. I bowed my head and asked Jesus Christ to save my wicked soul.
Amen.
Now, did I have doubts after that? Just like the disciples. Yeah, I sure did. But guess what? I knew that February 3rd, 1991, something monumental happened in my life, and I wasn't the same creature that I was before.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
My eyes were opened. I saw things differently. I walked differently. I wanted to talk differently. I wanted to actually start going to church.
Amen.
You couldn't get me in church to save my soul.
Amen,
I actually started wanting to read my Bible. Now, I used to read my Bible all the time. Every night, my wife said, I used to read my Bible.
Amen.
But when I got saved, that desire changed.
Amen.
The desire to be around God's people changed. The desire to be in the Word of God changed. The desire to do right changed. The desire to act like a Christian changed. Everything about me changed. Why? I made a difference in what I was doing by the Holy Spirit working in me and working out of me. And on conscious choice, on purpose, I started making decisions. Why? Because I got saved. We have a missions program to obey Jesus in being sent because people need to be saved. And as we are sent, we may get some explosion, as I mentioned last year. We may explosion. You may get a negative reaction. Folks, I don't want that gospel. Guess what? You go to someone that does.
That's right.
Hey, we knock on doors all the time. Folks say, I don't want any. Who was that? Brother Fred and I. No, I think it was Brother Aaron was with us. And the guy opened up the door, and the dog came out there. And I said, whoa, I said, I don't taste too good. And the guy came up there and he saw that it was me. He said, that's the end of our conversation. Pow, and slammed the door. And guess what I said? Let's go to the next door. Hey, when judgment day comes, I bet that will be replayed if he don't get saved. And God will say, I sent you a man, knocked on your door. He wanted to give you the gospel. And you said, that's the end of this conversation. And the door was slammed. And God is going to break his heart to send that man to a lake of a fire. Amen. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slack, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repent. It is not his desire, but there are going to be many that are going to be that way. As soon as they slammed that door, I said, there's more houses on this street.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? If every door got slammed, guess what? There's another street. Guess what? If every door on that, there's another street.
Yes, sir, there
there's always another street. What am I saying here? We may get some explosion when we go out, when we're sent to give out the gospel. Negative reactions may come, but there may be some expulsion, which is a neutral rejection. Some just say, well, neither here nor there. Amen. Just water off a duck's back. Amen. And so they may have a neutral reaction. Well, doesn't matter. But it's still a rejection. Then when we go, we can expect to have some expansion. we can expect some positive reception. Somebody's going to get saved. Sooner or later, somebody, if we're knocking on enough doors, somebody's going to get saved. Somebody's life's going to change. Somebody's going to make a decision for Christ. Hey, we talk about Acts chapter 2, when 3,000 souls got saved. There could have been multitudes there, but only 3,000 got saved out of all those. Not everybody received the message, but guess what? Some did. So while we can expect some negative reaction and some neutral rejection, amen, there's always going to be some positive reception when we go. And so therefore we should go because we are sent. Jesus said, go, and we can expect expansion when we go, amen. Not everybody's going to want to hear it, amen, but everybody needs it, amen. I'll give you these verses here. The gospel being sent is in every single gospel. It's here in Matthew, go. It's in Luke, and it says this in Luke chapter 24. I'm sorry, Mark 16, 15. We are to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And Luke 24, 47, it says that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. John chapter 20 and verse 21. Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Acts 1, 8. And ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. What am I saying? You cannot get away from the fact that God saved you and sent you. Amen. Amen. Hey, the Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, meaning the treasure of salvation, our God Almighty and the Holy Spirit in us. And our job is to go and give it to somebody else. By the way, last time I checked, I don't think any of us can afford to go to China. I don't think any of us can afford to go to Brazil or one of the other places. But guess what? We can go next door. We can go to our people on our jobs. We can go to the grocery store. We can go at the gas station. We can go locally where we're at. Amen. And he said, go. And so we have a missions program because Jesus said, I'm sending you. And if we're going to obey Jesus in being sent, we need a missions program. Number two. By the way, you may not be good at going. You may not be a Bible scholar when you go. But if you've been saved, you can't help but have a desire to tell somebody. You may not be the best witness. You may say, well, I'm like Moses. I fall over my words and I trip over what I got to say. You don't have to be eloquent. Only thing that you need, two things. You need the power of God through the Spirit of God, and you need the Word of God. That's all you need. Because your words ain't going to save them anyway. That's why the Bible says, thy word have I hid in mine heart. They need the gospel. They don't need your arguments. They don't need your words. They need God's word. And God's spirit is going to power his word. Amen. Because it's the sword of the spirit. And it's going to get that person where they need to be. So you may not be the best speaker. You may not be eloquent. But you need the gospel message. And by the way, this is not new. This is old stuff for us. Amen. Many of us know this. But how many of us do it? And that's what this is all about. We can't just be hearers of the word. We got to be doers too. Say, it's like looking in the mirror, beholding a natural face in the glass. Because he sees, but then he goes his way and he forgets what type of man he was. The Bible says to go. So why do we have a missions program to obey Jesus and being sent? Number two, we have a missions program to obey Jesus and seeing people get saved. Notice down there, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. He said, you need to make sure you get them evangelized. Give them the gospel. The word teach there means to make disciples or make Christians of all nations. Our job as saved people is to go and to see others saved. Apple trees produce apples. Orange trees produce oranges. Amen. Our coconut trees produce coconuts. Cows produce cows. Cats produce cats. Dogs produce dogs. Christians ought to produce Christians because people produce people. Amen. What's the last baby you had, spiritually speaking? That's why we don't grow. That's why we don't grow. I'm not into stealing church members from other churches. I'm into going out and getting people that need to be saved. Bringing them in here and teaching them how to be saved and watching them to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ after they've been baptized. It's not my job. It's not my goal to steal church members from every church in Tucson. My goal is to get those that are unreached, unchurched, and get them saved and bring them in the house of God and show them what real Christianity is all about. Amen. And so we have a missions program to obey Jesus and being sent, but then also in seeing people get saved. If people produce people, then Christians ought to produce Christians. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that wineth souls is wise. By the way, good news is worth sharing. And the gospel is good news. By definition, gospel means good news. Preacher, what's that good news? Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. Say, preacher, where do you see that? I'm glad you asked. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because we got to validate this by the Bible. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 1, Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the what? The gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ, what? Died for our sins according to the scriptures. And what? And that he was buried. And what? That he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. What is that? The gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. So as we are sent by the command of go, we want to go and see people get saved. He said, teach all nations. He said, disciples, this is what I want you to do. I called you to meet in this mountain in Galilee. And I believe because it was a mountain scene, they were able to look out and see. Because in a mountain, that's what you can do. You can look out and see. And I believe when he called them up in that mountain and he began to set them down and teach them and say, you see out there? This is where I want you to go. And I believe Jesus went like this. Amen. 365 degrees. I want you to go. Why? He said, teach all nations. Don't just stop here. All nations. I want you to see them saved. Make disciples. You 12, I pulled you up here. I called you up here. And I want you to look out there. There are people down there that need to be saved. Yes, there's some Jews down there need to be saved. Yes, there's some Judeans need to be saved. Yes, there's some Samaritans need to be saved. You can see them shuddering out. Samaritans. Mm.
Amen.
Samaritans. We don't like them. We don't like people with tattoos. We don't like people with more than one earring in their ear. We don't like people that got tattoos on their heads. We don't like people that got all this hair spiked up in green and orange. And we don't like them with foul mouths. We don't like them with their britches hanging down, showing all their underwears. And we don't like their foul language. We don't like these people. We don't like them. We don't like them. We don't like them. But God loves them. And God saved you, even though your pants weren't hanging down, even though you didn't have a bunch of earrings, even though you didn't have tattoos, even though you didn't have purple hair, he still loved you because you were a sinner just like they were. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Jesus loved you the same way he loved them. No less, no more. It's good news by definition. And Jesus, I believe, pulled them up on that mountain and began to show them what they were doing. By the way, to make this world better, voting is not going to help. Picketing is not going to help. The president's not going to help. Keeping Obama in won't help. Keeping Trump out won't help. Putting Hillary. Putting Hillary in is not going to help. Put the doctor in there is not going to help. Say, well, we need a surgeon that can do surgery on this country. No, what we need is the gospel to do surgery on people's hearts. I don't care who you put in the office. It's not going to make a difference. It is the heart of men, women, boys, and girls that is the problem with this nation, this country, and this world. Because it's a sinful heart. So all the changes we want to try to make is not going to help. So you can pick it all you want to. You can vote all you want to. You can put whoever you want to put in that office. Unless you install Jesus Christ in that office, it ain't going to help. By the way, in the millennial reign, he will be installed in office. He will be King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Not that he's not now, because he still is right now, amen. But he will be enthroned on this earth, amen. Seated above, amen. And everybody's going to worship him. Amen. Hallelujah and praise God. Make this world better. People need to be saved. Amen. Get this and act like it. Because
yes,
there are a lot of people saved, not many of them act like it.
Right.
You go some places and you say, well, you hear him cursing. I mean, well, G2 and I was watching the game last night where Michigan State beat Michigan. I don't know if any of y'all saw that. And they interviewed the guy. And he said a superlative. I don't know how to blank that happened. And then he said, oh, thank God, out of the same breath. He says this word here. And then in the same breath, he starts looking up. Oh, thank you, God. God's been blessing us. Wait a minute. Now, if he's all that, then why did you say that? Now, I'm not saying he's not saved. He might be saved. I don't know his heart. He might be saved. That's between him and God. But if I'm going to be saved, I need to act like I'm saved. I need to talk like I'm saved. I need to walk like I'm saved. I need to look like I'm saved. I need to smell like I'm saved. I need to portray Christ in me. It does this world no good for people to be saved and not act like it. Amen. Hey, they're sent. But they're sent to see people saved. And the only thing that's going to make a difference in this world is people that are saved begin to act like it. And the people that are saved that act like it are going to reach others so they can get somebody else like them. Amen. Say, preacher, I don't like that. That's up in your face. That's Bible, folks. That's Bible. He said, go ye. Ye means all of you, not just you 12, not just you 11, but everybody under sound of what this is saying. So just because you're not a disciple matters not, because if that Bible verse is played out, and if I go here and I teach my wife how to be saved, she gets baptized. And then I teach her what Jesus commanded me. One of the first things he told me was to go. So guess what she does? She goes. I come over and I find Jerry. And I teach Jerry how to be saved. Get Jerry baptized. And I say, I'm teaching them to observe all things wherever I command you. One of the first things Jesus told me was go. So you can theorize it anyway. Well, he's not talking to me because he's talking to the 11. You and I have the gospel because they obeyed what it said. They went to somebody who went to somebody who went to somebody who went to somebody who went to somebody. Who is your somebody you've gone to lately? Ooh, preacher, no, don't go there. I'm giving my money. Isn't that good enough? No, it's not. No, it's not. Number one, why we have a missions program? To obey Jesus and being sent. He said, go ye. Number two, why do we have a missions program? To obey Jesus and seeing people saved. He said, teach all nations. Number three, why do we have a missions program? To obey Jesus and submersion. He said, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. After seeing people saved, Jesus said, baptize them, not sprinkle them. You don't sprinkle dead people with dirt. You put them on the ground. Amen, Pastor. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Baptism symbolizes the same thing. The death of a person, that person's burial, and that person's recognition that they've been raised to walk in newness of life. That's what it's about. Baptism doesn't save you. Never could, never will. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. If that were not the case, then we should say, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the water in the baptistry. Might as well change the hymn book. Might as well change the book. If that's the case, then the thief on the cross did not make it. If that's the case, nobody in the Old Testament did it, because they didn't do it either. So that means David's in hell right now. Abraham's in hell. Noah's in hell. Solomon is in hell. And everybody else. Now, some of them are in hell. Amen. Because they didn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They didn't look to the cross. But that means everybody in the Old Testament that didn't get baptized ain't going to make it. That means every baby that was born in the womb, stillborn, ain't going to make it. That means every baby that came out afterwards that didn't get baptized ain't going to make it. Do you really want to go with that theology that baptism saves and leave so many people out of the equation? It's got to be simple if a baby can get saved. It's got to be simple if everybody in the world's on the same conditions. We're all sinners, and we all need to be saved, and we all need a Savior. And if a four-year-old can do it, 104-year-old should be able to do it. If a Chinese person can do it, a Japanese person should be able to do it. A person from Ghana should be able to do it. An American should be able to do it. Everybody should have equal opportunity to this message. And baptism is not that. Baptism symbolizes a death, a burial, and a resurrection, a willingness to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They're showing an inward work, and they're showing it on the outside for everybody to see. The old man is dead. He's buried, and new man is being raised to walk in newness of life. Does it mean that he is sinless? No, but it means he should sin less.
Amen.
Amen. Why? Because consciously, I buried the sinner. Consciously, that old sinner was buried, just like Jesus Christ was buried for sin. And consciously, that old sinner who was dead and buried, Jesus raised up a new man. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That new person raised up to follow Jesus Christ in righteousness. Romans 6 and verse 4 says it this way. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we, notice this, also should walk in newness of life. Not an old life, but a new life. Was that the life of Christ? I should desire to follow him. What does that mean? I need to act like him. What is baptism going to do? Baptism is a mental picture, a mental image of me. The old man has been buried, killed off, buried with Jesus Christ, and the new man has been raised to walk in newness of life. That's why sprinkling is not going to cut it. Because you bury dead people. And so even if Romans 6, 4 wasn't in the Bible, we're still commanded right here by Jesus to baptize. That's enough. Amen. He shouldn't have to say it twice, amen. So we have a missions program to obey Jesus and being sent, number one. He said, go ye. But then number two, we obey him by seeing people saved. He said, teach all nations. But then number three, we obey him. And we have this missions program to obey Jesus in submersion. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. By the way, that is the Trinity, the three in one. Then number four, why we have a missions program to obey Jesus in schooling them. He says in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things, whatsoever I've commanded you. You know, when you go to school, the teachers have a school book. And their job is to teach you what's in the school book. And they're trying to teach you to observe the things that are written down in the school book. And we've got several teachers here. Charmaine's a teacher. Miss Jenny's a teacher. My wife's a teacher. Miss Sharon's a teacher. Amen. Miss Paula's a teacher. And your goal, your object is to get the material into the person and to have them to do what you're trying to teach them. Jesus said, you know what? When you get these people saved, I'm sending you to see them saved. And when you get these people submerged, when they get baptized, and when these people get saved and submerged, when they get baptized, they get their life turned around, I want you to teach them how to walk this new life. I want you to teach them how to live the life of Christ-likeness. I want you to teach them what I taught you. Things like about the rich man and the poor man. Things like I taught about Nicodemus. Things like I talked about money. Things I talked about forgiveness. Things I talked about judgment and jealousy and lies and deceit. Teach them those things that I taught you. I want you 3.5 years, go and teach them everything I told you and start with go. Because that's what I'm telling you. What am I saying? Christ's last command should be our first concern. We must teach them all things Jesus taught us. And the first thing he said down there was go. That's discipleship. The very first thing we should school our newly saved, submerged Christians is that we are sent to go and reach others with the same saving grace they receive. You want to keep our church fresh? You want to keep our church growing? See people saved. Because those people know people that you don't know. They know people outside of your circles. They know people that are still waddling in their sin. Oh, yes, you and I know people that are waddling in their sins as well. But they know us already. And so they probably aren't going to come because they think, well, I got to match up to your order. I got to wear a suit to church. I can't curse. I can't drink anymore. Amen. Those people that just got saved don't know a whole lot. One thing they do know is I'm saved. I bought more people in the first 3.5 years of my salvation probably than I had bought into my entire life. Why? I didn't know a whole lot of theology. I didn't know a whole lot of Bible, but I knew one thing. Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. I don't have a whole lot of time to study a whole lot of Bible right now, but I know one thing. I'm around sinners every day. I'm going to tell everybody I can they need to get saved. And guess what? The more people I told, the more people began to flood in the church. The more people came flooding in the church, the more people got saved. The more people got saved, the more those guys went back and got their friends. That's what it's all about. You know why we oftentimes don't see new people in our church? Because you and I aren't doing our job. We aren't going out there where the sinners are at. We're not going to the guy with his britches hanging down. We're not going to the ones with the earrings. We're not going to the ones with the tattoos. We're not going to the ones with the purple and the green hair. We're not going to the one who curses. We're not going to the drunkard. We're not going to the prostitute. We're not going to the whoremonger. We're not going to the liars. We're not going to the thieves. We want to stay with our four no more. That's why people don't come. That's why it's important to knock on doors. You don't know who's going to be behind that door. Hey, we cannot be content on saying, well, you know, let them get any way they can. I did. No, you didn't. Somebody gave it to you. And the reason why we don't see many people is because we have fallen short oftentimes on going and seeing people get saved, seeing them get submerged, and then teaching them or schooling them to go and get somebody else like them. Say, preacher, nobody had to tell me to do that. Well, some people have to be taught to do that. Nah, nobody had to tell me to do it either. I did it on my own. Why? I had something good. I had good news. I had the gospel. Amen. And I knew how it affected my life. And if it's affecting your life, then others need to know that saving grace that you received. If you needed to be saved from sin and hell, so do others. You need to share Jesus with someone else and everyone else you can. Oftentimes, we don't see people getting saved because we're not going out to get them. And they're still dying. We have soul winning here every Saturday. And why is it that the same ones always come out? Well, didn't God speak to somebody else's heart? Now, I know some of us work, and some of us have other things going on. I understand that. But when you can be here, you should be here.
Amen.
It should burn your heart that you're not here.
Amen.
If you're able to get out and walk, you should. It should burn your heart that you're not here. If you're not providentially hindered by something else that's going on with a job or a family matter or something like that, then you should be here. It should burden your heart. This church will not grow if the people that are in it don't go and get somebody saved. You work around them. You live around them. You are with them all the time. Give out a try. Well, preacher, I'm too busy. Somebody was not too busy to give you the gospel.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
See, folks, if we don't go, why are we going to pray Brother Scott to go down to Mexico when we won't go here? Mm-hmm. Well, Brother Scott, we'll give you some money if you reach Tucson for us. Mm-hmm. By the way, here's a missionary who was out door knocking with us yesterday.
Amen.
It's not even his church.
No, he's not.
And he was out yesterday knocking on doors. What's our excuse? What's our excuse? Preacher, you just don't know my life. I don't, but Jesus does. Hey, there's a day of reckoning. There's a day of counting that we're going to have to give an account for our life. Our priorities sometimes are just out of whack. Sometimes they're out of whack. You say, preacher, are you being mean to us? No, I'm not. I'm giving you my heart.
Amen.
We're not going to see people if we don't go and get them. You can't expect them to come here. You can stand outside all you want to. Hey, here's the church. Come on in. Here's the church. Come on in. You can get saved. You know what they'll say? Why should I come into your church? Give me a good reason why I should come. We got to go out and get them. You can't. My wife and I, we ran a teen group. We were in Belgium. And Pastor Bennett told us early on, don't expect no teenager to come into this class if you don't go get them. He said, don't expect one teenager to come to this class. If you don't go out there and get them and bring them in, don't expect them to come in here. So on Saturdays, you know what we did? We went out to go get them. And we built that teen class up with the glory of God and God's Holy Spirit. Help, we got those teens. We would get them in there. Come on, you want to be a part of this? And man, we got them in there. Why? He said, go and get them. He said, don't expect them to come in here. You know what we did? We went and got them. If we want to see our church grow, then we got to go get them. Even if you don't want to see it grow, just obey what God said, and it will grow.
Amen.
Now you may say, well, I like our four and no more preacher. I don't want those other people to come in here. They smoke and they drink, and I did that. I came to church, and they curse and they lie and they cheat. I did that. Well, they got purple hair and they wear their britches hanging down. Well, yeah, I didn't do that. But guess what? I had enough other baggage to wear my britches down. And guess what? I came in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what cleaned you up, preacher? The same thing that'll clean them up, the Word of God.
Amen.
What got you right with God when you had all that stuff? The Word of God. What am I saying? Why do we have and need a missions program? Because Jesus said, I want you to go. You're sent. I want you to see people get saved. I want you to teach them. I want you to get them submerged, baptize them. I want you to school them. He said, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. But I'm glad it doesn't end there. Notice what it says. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. When we go, we don't go alone. Because we're sent, we should desire to obey Jesus' last command as our first concern until he comes. But when we go, we don't go alone. Lo, I am with you always. We have God's approval. We have his authentication. We have his stamp of approval that he is with us when we go. And so I can go, as scared as I am, as doubting as I am, as unseasoned as I am, as unskillful as I am, I can still go knowing that Jesus is going with me. His job is to bring them in. His job is to win them. His job is to put the gospel in their hearts. Our job is just to give it. Jesus never told you to go save anybody. By the way, if you saved them, they're still lost. He said, you give them my message, the gospel. You tell them about my death, my burial, and my resurrection. You tell them that it should have been them up on that cross, but I died in their place. You tell them how much I love them. You tell them how much I don't want them to go to that place called hell. And guess what? They will respond, I did. I did. I said, man, I'm in danger. But there's a God that loves me. And he wants to take me like I am. I wouldn't even take me like I am. But he knows me, and he's going to take me. People need to hear that God loves them. Most of the world thinks God's angry at them. Now, he's angry at sin. Don't get me wrong. And the wrath of God abideth on man. But God loves sinners. And he wants them to be saved. It is his desire that they get saved. But the ones that got saved, he said, you 11, I got you here on this mountain. I'm appointing you, and I want you to look out, and I want you to go. I want you to see him saved. And I want you to see him submerged. And I want you to see him schooled. And I want you to teach him what I told you. And when you go, you're not going alone. I'm going with you by the power of the Spirit of God. Folks, we have and need a missions program because of Jesus' command. And for us to be disobedient to that command is a disobedience to God. And so we have a missions program to obey Jesus in being sent, in being seeing people get saved, in seeing people submerge into this local church, and then in schooling them. And to obey that principle, we've got to have a missions program. I don't care how you slice it. I don't care how you want to say it. We don't need flowery words and a flowery outline to say Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. All we got to say is he said go. My question is, are you going? Then he said teach. Are you teaching people how to be saved? And he said baptize them. Are you bringing people in to get baptized? Then he said teach them to observe. Are you discipling somebody right now? If you're saved, you should be. If you're saved, you should be. Say, preacher, it's not enough people to get discipled. That's because we got to bring more people in. Amen. There is not a lack for sinners. Not a lack for sinners. They're all around you at your jobs, everywhere you go. Our job is to go get them. Give them the gospel. They get saved, bring them in and get them baptized. And then school them. This nation is in the problems it's in because we as a nation have stopped this. We've stopped this. Amen. And we're no longer doing this. And we just assume get people from other churches all the time. We just assume have children in our family and bring them up. And we just assume be like the Jews who said it's us against the world. No, Jesus said go out and win the world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel and bring them in. Folks, we need a missions program. We have a missions program. But now what's going to be your involvement in that missions program? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around. Just for a moment. And although most of this is review for most of us, I don't think I would be remiss in saying that we know this, but sometimes we don't do this. And although we know God says go, I think sometimes we have excuses by why we don't go. And my job is not to make you feel bad about not going. My job is to encourage you to go. My job is to encourage you to see people saved. My job is to encourage you to bring them in church so they can get baptized. My job is to encourage you to get involved in discipleship so that someone can learn what you know. And our job as a church is to be obedient to what Christ's last command was, to go, to teach, to baptize, to teach. What are you doing in regards to these verses right now? If the truth be known, would you be able to stand before God and say, God, I've done the best I can in going. God, I've done the best I can in seeing people baptized. God, I've done the best I can in teaching. I've done the best I could. Could you stand before God and confidently say, I've done the best I could? Folks, if not, then we need to do better. As a church, as a body, this church will not do anything if we don't obey that. Preacher, you don't know my schedule. I don't, but God does. You can go. You can teach. Father, bless now this invitation. Lord, we need a missions program. We have a missions program. Lord, now help us to get involved in what we need to do here by going. Lord, all of us go somewhere. When we go, Lord, help us go with a gospel track. Help us go with a witness. Help us go with the opportunity. When the opportunity presents itself, help us to give the gospel. Help us, Lord, if we're saved, to act like it, that others may ask us why we do what we do. They may ask us the reason of the hope that sent us with meekness and fear. Lord, they would respond to our life because our life is Christ's life. Lord, then again, there may be some here, a man, woman, boy, or girl that's never been born again. They don't have a time or a place when they trusted Christ as Savior. I pray that you would speak to that man, that woman, that boy, or girl, and convince them they need to be saved today. Then, Lord, maybe there are others that need to join this local church today. They've been saved. They've been scripturally baptized. Lord, maybe they need to come forward to say, what do I need to do to join this church? Maybe there's some that's saved, but they're not baptized. And maybe they would present themselves today to say, I need to be baptized. Lord, whatever it is you'd have us to do, help us to see the great need to obey this command to go because we're sent to teach people how to be saved. See them submerged because you said baptize them. And to see them schooled by teaching them to observe what you told us. Lord, work in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around before we stand. Perhaps you're here today without Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, I'm not saved and I need to be saved. Would you pray for me today? I won't call you out. I won't pick you. But I do want to pray for you today. You're right where you're at. You'd raise your hand. I'm saying, preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. I'm not absolutely positive. I've never been shown through the Bible how I can be saved. Would you pray for me? Man, woman, boy, or girl, you'd raise that hand. Say, pray for me. Amen. I see one hand. You may put it down. Amen. Is there another? You say, pray for me, preacher. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. I'm not really sure. I think I would, but I'm not convinced. Could you pray for me? Folks, that's what this is all about. Seeing people saved. Seeing them saved. Then seeing them baptized. Is there another that would join this one? I'm not sure, preacher. Pray for me. Pray for me. Christian, how about you? Are you doing your best today in going? Are you doing your best in giving the gospel? Are you doing your best in bringing people to get them baptized? Are you doing your best to teach them, to disciple them? I'm not talking about your own children. I'm talking about others. If you're not, why don't you ask God to give you that passion back, give you that heart back, the heart of service, the heart to reach others? Bless now these next moments in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, one looking around. The altar's open. Maybe you need to come and say, preacher, I need to do more. This missions year, I'm going to do better. Maybe you would say, you know, I need to join this local church. And maybe you'd come and say, preacher, would you tell me what I need to do to join this church? You've been saved. You've been scripturally baptized. And you want to join this church. And you'd come and say, what do I need to do? Or perhaps there's something that you need to work on. As the piano begins to play, you come and do what God's laid upon your heart. Maybe you raise your hand saying, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. By that, I'm not sure that heaven is my home. Would you like to be sure? We can take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. How about it? Christians are praying. Say, preacher, I'm not sure heaven is my home. What can I do? Well, would you come? Let us show you what you need to do. It's as simple as 1, 2, 3. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Bible says, with a heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. The Bible says, the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is heaven your home? You have some doubts about that. You raise your hand saying, I'm not sure. I can pray for you, but it's nothing like coming to see for yourself. If you're a man, we'll get a man to take you to another room and show you in the Bible. If you're a woman, get a woman to show you how you can be sure that heaven is your home. But a decision must be yours. The decision must be yours. Would you like to know how to be saved? Would you like to know how to be saved? We can get someone to take a Bible and show you how to do it. But you've got to come. If you love me, Christians are praying. It's not about being a Baptist. It's not about being a Catholic. It's not about religion at all. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Would you like to be saved? About it. Are you sure? God's speaking to your heart today. One's already making a decision. What about you? Do you need to be saved today? Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Lord, the command is clear as a bell. You said to go. Lord, you gave this to the disciples years ago, to the 11. But Lord, because of their obedience, we have it all the way here in America. And that command was given in Galilee many, many years ago. But their obedience has given us the opportunity to have the gospel here in Arizona, that still men, women, boys, and girls can be saved. And Lord, you're not done yet. We still from Arizona need to go and see people saved. And give that same gospel to someone else. Lord, I pray that you would give grace and strength to that one that needs to make a decision today. Help the rest of us, Lord, to understand there are people around us that need the gospel. And they too need to be saved. And help us, Lord, to see not this church grow, but obedience to your command, which will enable this church to grow. Help us not to be partial or prejudiced on who we give the gospel to, but just give it to any and everybody, because everybody needs to be saved. Lord, as a church, make us more obedient. There are more people that can go than that do go. What we know is going to be a spiritual commitment that we make, a physical commitment, financial commitment, but an annual commitment as well. Lord, we need to go, and help us to go. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for meeting our need. Meet with us back tonight, Lord, as we see more about financing this same endeavor, because you've told us to go to all nations, and help us to better comprehend biblically why, as a church, we have need and finance and missions program. And Lord, may we consciously make a decision to get involved, and not just the finances of it, but moving our feet to it as well, and knocking on doors and telling others about Jesus and his love for them. Thank you for meeting our need today. Remind us, Lord, to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name. Brother Hall.